point like we never left. And this morning has caused my heart just to burst. See that the Lord is good. People being empowered. I was just undone because it was just so beautiful to see people being empowered and remembering as they were sharing about the training of chars and maids to better skill them and equip them to work. Steph, I remember being in a life group, and one of the questions I always love to ask is, how did you come to faith? Tell me your journey to Christ. Tell me your journey. And they started going around the room, and this one particular lady, it came to her turn to share how she encountered Jesus. And she grabs the hand of the lady next to her, and she says, this is my maid, my char, who led me to Christ. And I went, wow. And it was just such a beautiful story as it unfolded. And so I can see it. It's not just only empowering them from a place of employment, but equipping and skilling them to be able to share their story and faith in Jesus. And to me, we've been journeying together with you, and just the responsiveness and your eagerness to apply the truths and the scriptures is greatly encouraging. Steph, God has given you a wonderful community. And Cass, it's wonderful to see what God is doing in and through you. And that we really are eagerly watching the space to see God at move. The worship this morning was so tender, so personal, so sweet. Just the sensitivity to the ebb and the flow of Holy Spirit was very special. My heart feels full. Just to be able to face-to-face engage with Him was special. And to me, I'm so looking forward to continue the series. And this morning, without recapping, we chatted about unblocking the salt cellars of our lives. We looked at our salt roots. We spoke about salty conversation. Remember the acronym? Start a conversation. Ask questions. Listen. Tell your story. I know that you've watched the videos on the salty Samaritan and salty hospitality, and you've engaging with your own personal salty story. But this morning, I'm going to continue of how you can be a salty friend. How can we be those kinds of friends engaging with other friends that we have to be able to sprinkle salt into their lives? Not heaps, not tablespoons, not teaspoons, just a pinch. Just a pinch of salt. I want to remind you of that beautiful verse of Scripture. If there was a tattoo I was ever going to get, it possibly could be this verse, where Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth." It was a prophetic declaration. It was an announcement that you and I are heaven's flavoring on planet earth. You and I are God's flavoring to bring this bland world back to God and back to life. Now, we've all heard of this expression, that person is a salt of the earth person. We've all heard of that expression. In other words, what we're saying is they're the real deal. They're the genuine. They're the authentic person. What they say and who they are, it's almost the same. A little variation. And we're wanting to narrow that gap all the time. And I believe being a salty friend is living authentic, relevant lives that makes others around us curious about Jesus and thirsty for Him. Where our lives, that we live our lives as an exclamation mark, not a question mark. God wants our lives to be exclamation marks. I love to ask people in the workplace and space, are there any other Christ followers and God lovers in this business, in this work environment? And if they've got to say, I think, I say, you don't have to think, they're not. Because we ought to be, not just by us proclaiming, but by our attitudes, our words, and the way we live, do our lives have an exclamation mark of the God that we love and live for with all of our hearts? Now, I really want to encourage you this morning on how we can be a salty saint that salts our friendships. Now, there's what I like to sometimes say, you know, you get those sweet saints where they don't want to rock the boat. They just want to keep the status quo. Or I sometimes call them chameleon Christians, where they just sort of blend in and you don't know where they stand. I'm not talking about those kind of Christians. I'm not talking about a sour saint where it's like where they always focusing on the externals, the religious outward things of you've got to do this, you've got to do that, where Christianity in its essence is that heart relationship with Jesus that changes us and we begin to reflect Him. We don't want to be those bitter believers that come to the cross and all we do is give Jesus piecemeal. We don't give Him the whole of our life and we carry baggage in our lives. We need to unpack that baggage that we don't have to be bitter believers, but we want to be salty saints where we discover the joy of serving Jesus in all the various seasons of our lives. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We want to be kingdom influencers. We want to be kingdom influencers where we bring transformation. And it's that transformation that's profoundly powerful because life is all about relationships. Firstly, our vertical relationship with God as the Father through Jesus and the power of Holy Spirit. But then the horizontal relationships with one another and the others. And I've found many, many Christians are rich in their friendships with one another, the fellow believers, Christians, one another. We do the one another's well. But Jesus is concerned about the others who are the yet to believe. And that's what I'm wanting to focus on this morning. To be friendship is the currency of life. And we all have the potential to be extremely wealthy. Friendship is the currency of life. And we all have the potential to be exceptionally wealthy. I have a question I'd like to ask you. How many of you here today came to faith in Jesus through a friend who loved you, accepted you, journeyed with you, answered your questions, and helped you cross the line of faith to know Jesus? Could you raise your hand? We've got load shedding and it's a little difficult. There's a number of hands. A number of hands. Can I say, I really believe is what they did to you and how they assisted you and helped you is what Jesus wants you to do for others. I'm wanting to equip you and to help you. We need friends in our lives that are ahead of us, alongside us, behind us, but those that are also on the outside that we can begin to influence and draw them in. Now, Jesus beautifully modeled this. Now, when you think about Jesus and His friends, the first thing you do is think of the 12 disciples. When you think of Jesus' friends, it's those 12 disciples. However, Jesus beautifully modeled of how He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In fact, it was a derogatory term that the religious leaders coined about Jesus. It wasn't a compliment. It wasn't something that was they esteemed, but they actually belittled Jesus by calling Him a friend of tax collectors and sinners, because the religious leaders wanted to be friends with the who's who of society. They wanted to rub shoulders with the elite, the well-to-do and the wealthy. They weren't interested in just the ordinary. The religious leaders had this mindset that they were to come out of the ordinary and they're to be separate. They'd taken biblical scriptures out of context and to an extreme that was never God's heart or intention. They had this understanding if they hung out with the unclean, they would be defiled. Hence, they kept their distance. But Jesus comes on the scene and says, no. They are the very people that I came for to die for. Hence, I want to be with them and I want to be their friends. When we begin to see that Jesus' heart was that to be with and to hang with the very people he so deeply and dearly loved. How else will they get to know about this God that we love and serve if they're not exposed to him in some form or fashion? See, now, the religious leaders had this mindset, come out and be separate. Jesus in the New Testament brings a wonderful truth of the power of influence. He comes in as an ambassador of the Father. He's light. He's salt. He influences those round about us. Likewise, that's how we do. Jesus was called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. A friend of them. Do your friendship circles reflect that of Jesus? Do your friendship circles reflect that? Because it's important for us to begin to start reevaluating that, because you can only reach people when they're in your space. If they're not in your space, you cannot influence them. Now you might say, well, they're in my Facebook space or they're in my WhatsApp space. I don't consider that space. When I'm talking about space, God beautifully puts it, he wants a face-to-face relationship with us. And when we begin to engage face-to-face with those that are far from God, they can begin to see something that could awaken something in their lives that could start bringing change into their hearts and into their lives. The only time I would discourage anybody from engaging and having closer friendships with those who are yet to believe, if you've come out of drugs or homosexuality or a cult or alcoholism, I want you to say, find wholeness in Christ. Allow him to bring deliverance, help you to renew your mind, and come to a place being at least 50% free before you start engaging with those kind of people. Because often your ministry is to those very people that he's delivered you from, that you can engage with them. I want to say to you, it starts off by just being friendly. It just starts off by being friendly. I've spoken about the fragrance. The fragrance, Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, that God through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. I believe us being friendly knocks on the door on people's hearts and lives. Just being friendly. Then those who respond, you can just have a general conversation about whatever's happening in the world or their world or in your community. You have a contact that can lead to a connection, that can lead to greater heart conversations. There is a process and a journey. Why is it important for us to have non-Christian friends? I believe, firstly, is having non-Christian friends in our circle of friends, it's what Jesus would do. Jesus beautifully modeled it, and we call to follow in his footsteps. Now, I've spoken to people, they said, no, I've got lots of non-Christian friends. So I said, that's great. Well, at the sports club, at work, there is a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. And we mustn't confuse the two. When I go play squash with my friends, they're acquaintances. A friendship develops when they come into my home or I go into their homes, and we meet beyond where we first initially met. You need to understand that difference. My kayaking friends, if I'm just helping them offload their kayaks and carrying it down to the beach, and we talk a bit about fishing at the car park, or they're just acquaintances. But when I say, come round to my spot for a burry roll or a cup of coffee, and we start talking about family, and we start talking about their life, and I start sharing my life, that's when we've moved away from an acquaintance to the beginnings of a friendship. I would encourage you that God is a foodie. So much happens around food. You study from Genesis to Revelations, there's a thread of food. Adam and Eve blew it when they disobeyed God. It was around food. We know birthrights were were given away because of food. We know the miracles that are associated with food, the Gospels, the multiplication, and it ends off in, in the book of Revelations with a mega banquet feast. It's around food. Something about food disarms people, and you're chatting and you're talking and you're sharing. Have people around in your homes. Our homes need to be open. But then people have said to me, well, Wally, it's quite a scary thing to have somebody come to my home or me to go to their home. What are we going to talk about? We're just going to look at each other and it's going to be those awkward moments. Can I say to you, we've got to learn the art of general conversation. Being a witness is not straight away. You've come into my home, sit down, can I get you a cup of tea? Let me tell you how I came to faith. Let me tell you where I've been reading in my Bible. No, I don't believe that's the best approach. I think the best approach is build that relational bridge by getting to know who they are. And when you learn to begin to start asking questions, and I've got a couple I'm just going to give to you that you can start, that they can see you normal, that they can see you're a human, that they can see that you love life and you love God. And you mesh the two together. I like to ask people about their favorites. From their favorite holidays to their favorite food, favorite places, favorite movies, books. And then what do you find most meaningful about it? How many of you know you could have a whole hour or two just conversation around that? Then the other one is fun. What do you enjoy doing for fun? What do you do to relax? What do you enjoy the most? Then another F is that of your family. Tell us about your family. Are you married? Your children? Do you have brothers and sisters? Where do they live? Again, you're beginning just to get to know who they are. And interspersed in all of that, I like to drop seeds. And I watch how they respond. And depending how people respond is then how I take it the next step further. Talk about fitness, health, hobbies, sports. See, I'm going on a journey with them. Then I like to bring in about fears. What are some of your fears, your concerns? What has been the biggest hurdle that you've experienced in your life? Tell you what, that's opened some deep, meaningful conversations. What have been some of your biggest challenges in life? I'd love to hear. How many of you know at that level, you're getting to know that person? Then tell me about your future. What are some of your dreams, your goals, your bucket lists? Tell us some of those. See, what you're doing, you're showing that person that you care about them, you're interested in them, and you're journeying with them. Then your finances. What do you do for a living? What have you done? Interesting. And then I always bring in and interweave something about faith. Can I say to you this morning, take people on that relational journey. On Tuesday, I'm going to be talking around how we can discern the ripe harvest. Who to pursue, need to be discerning the who just to step back from at this season. Was green fruit, bruised fruit, and sadly rotten at that particular point. And then how to respond accordingly. But it's interesting, if you study the Gospels, you see how Jesus went and had dinner at Matthew's house at a tax collector. And then the religious leaders again, like wild dogs, they were accusing Jesus continually. And they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And it says over on hearing this, Jesus responded and he said, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but it's the sick. It's the sick. I don't know if you remember me last time sharing the story of Eric and his girlfriend, how they, one of my kayaking friends, and when we had our quarterly burger and beer time and we share fishing stories and traces and exchange lures, etc., he said to me, hey, Wally, I'm broken. Do you remember them? And I said to him, Eric, why don't we get together? So he came around with his girlfriend who had left him with their 7-year-old daughter. And Saturday afternoon at our home, we had coffee and biscuits and we chatted for a good 3 hours. And then I after praying together with them, I said, look, we've just started a marriage course. Why don't you go along and let's see what happens. Now, if you notice, I didn't say to him, hey, Eric, you know you're living together. That's wrong. So often we were there to point, we think sharing the gospel is pointing out people's sin. It's not. I accept the people who they are, but it doesn't mean I approve of their lifestyle. But I point them to a better way, to the way of Christ. So I said, come along to the marriage course. He just finished it a week ago. He phones me up while I'm in Johannesburg, and he says, Wally, I'm so excited. We've got engaged, and we want to get married. Now, I didn't tell him he was living in sin, but Holy Spirit began to do the convicting and the work in his heart, in his life. Can I say, point people to Jesus, don't point people's sin out. So often we think it's our job. No, that's Holy Spirit's job. He's faithful in doing that. In fact, there's a beautiful scripture. It says in Luke 15, verse 2, it says, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. It's interesting when you have people that don't know God over for a meal, the way the conversations go. And this way, sometimes you just got to lovingly facilitate and steer that. I remember when Shirley and I, a while ago, went on a cruise. And we went from Cape Town up to Europe. And we climbed, it was like overwhelming initially. There was about 2,800 passengers for 19 days. I thought, whoa, they can't run away anywhere. And I thought, this is a great time. And so we get on, we suss the sea, we look, and then we saw this whole group of gay folk together. And normally people just congregated the same sort of eating places at the same time. So I said to Shirley, hey, love, let's go join that group. And so they looked at us and they thought, you're not part of us. I said, would you mind if we joined you for breakfast? So we joined them and we ended up going maybe a couple of days with them. And we purposely sat next to each and every one of the different couples and we just asked them questions. And there was a common thread of brokenness in their lives, pain in their lives, disillusionment in their lives, with no hope. And over that time, we had such opportunities just to share what God has done in our lives and said what he's done for us, he can do for you too. He can do for you as well. There weren't any that came to faith. However, we had such a wonderful time connecting with them and just loving them on purpose, being non-judgmental, accepting of who they are, but not approving of the way they've chosen to live. It was really, when you begin to feel people's pain and brokenness, it begins to move us more and more to wanting to build bridges with them. But then we said, okay, Lord, who else do we go to? Where do we do? Lord, we've come for lunch. We've come for dinner. Who do we connect with? And we had such an amazing time. There was a couple that we got to know. His name was Johan and Alita. We found out they lived in Tableview as well, where we were. We had a couple of meals together, and we found that they drifted away from God. Instead of saying, no, you've got to come back to church, we say, you've got to come back to Christ. And help them on a journey back to Jesus. And then you know what? The outworking of that is they want to come to a local church. Remember I said connect people to Christ, the head of the body. And then they want to be a part of the body. And they became part of the family of Life Changes Church. And it was beautiful. They joined the Milnerton group. And they just were flourishing and blossoming. And they every now and again said, you know where we met Wally? Was somewhere between here and Europe. It was just en route somewhere. Can I say, look out. And remember, Steph, one of the guys, I bumped into a pastor there. He says, hey, it's over Easter. Why don't we do an Easter service? I'm thinking to myself, I'm on holiday. They spoke to the captain. And all they did is they put little pamphlets under the cabins and said, look, for those that are interested, we're having a Good Friday service and an Easter Sunday morning service. These were the times. So the captain says, well, how many expecting? I said, we don't know. 30, 40, 50. I don't know. You know how many pitched? Over 300. We're over 300, and here we were worshiping and praising God on this cruise liner. It was a wonderful time. See, when you just involve Christ in your life wherever you go, it's a fun, it's an adventure. When we were here, we just went back home, and I don't know if you remember the story, because every story has sequels. Every story has sequels. Remember we had the street briar? Remember I said God loves food? Because it's over food you connect, you chat, you talk. Shirley met a lovely lady who needed her home to be interior decorated. So they got chatting and talking. Shirley and other friends said, we'll do it. And they put wallpaper and this and that and whatever else have you. Getting to know the couple is they have a special needs child. And we met him, Matt is his name, because they walk around our cul-de-sac once or twice a day, their caregiver, Cindy. And whenever I drop, he says, hey, how's it? How are you? And it's difficult to communicate because he struggles to talk and struggles to walk. He's 23 years old, and maybe he's 4. I don't know how they would gauge that. But we were always just friendly towards them. We were up 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. And the mom contacts Shirley and says, I need to tell you, Matt passed away at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you got it about 8 or so, 9 o'clock. I said, love, we just stopped everything we did. Went around, we just walked to their spot. And there we just wept and cried together with them. Just wept. It was like no words to say. And what we did is we said, Jesus, you live within us. We want your presence through us just to comfort and love on them. And we spent an hour or two there just loving them, listening to them. And then he says to me, Wally, we don't go to church. We're not church people. And I could see with the Buddhas around, they weren't church people. And they said, would you help us with a memorial? I said, only with pleasure. Can I tell people about Jesus? And he said, you just do it. You'd please help us and do it. And I had the privilege of maybe 25, 30 folk. And now Shirley and I are mingling and mixing and looking who else we can engage and chat with. And then afterwards, we had a wonderful time talking. The dad, before we leaving, he comes to me and he says this profound thing. He says, hey, Wally, for 23 years, our whole life has been centered around Matt. Our whole life. I don't have any friends. Would you be one for me? Whew. My heart just ached because I could just see the deep loneliness in his life. Now, I know he loves walking. I enjoy walking. So this last Friday, 2 days ago, gave him a shout. I said, hey, keen for a walk. I'd love to. We just walk around our cul-de-sac about 5 or 6 times. And all he did was just talk and talk and talk. And I said to him, I've been praying for you. And I think Jesus told me 2 things he wants to tell you. Firstly, is that he wants to bring healing to the grief and the loss of your son. And as he's crying, I'm crying, we're walking around the block together. And it was just such a moment. And then I said this, and he said, yes, could you help me? Could you help me? And the other thing I said to him, I sense you and your wife, your whole life has been centered around that. You don't have any dreams to share together. Can I help you on that journey? He said, oh, I'd love you to. So when we get back, we've got some cool journeying to do with a couple in our community. Where did it start? A street briar. Secondly, in the home. Thirdly, just journeying together, walking. So much of our sharing faith and being salty with others is en route. It's just journeying together with people. Can I encourage you? So often we just think it's just telling people. I remember one of my kayak fishing friends. And he admits that he's a lonely guy. He says, I don't have friends. I fish alone. I like my own company. I said, can I join you? And sort of begrudgingly, he said, okay. Begrudgingly. And I found out he's got 2 daughters as well. I said, I've got 2 daughters. And I said, both of mine are married. I'm a grandpa. He says, no, he's not there yet. But his one's getting married. And he says, I'm terrified. I said, why? He says, I've got to do a speech and I don't speak in public. I'm an introvert. I said, I was one as well. Let me tell you my story. So I shared with him my story. He says, hey, well, it's costing me so much bucks. He says, I don't even have money for a jacket. So I looked at him and I said, I walked my daughter down the aisle with, why don't you borrow that? So he said, hey, that'll be so cool. And the time when he got married, he's sending me pictures of himself with his daughter. He says, cool jacket. But I started this journey together with him. You see, it went outside acquaintance on the beach kayaking to our home. We had meals together. We laughed. We shared. We cried. And then all of a sudden, some of his biggest fears started popping up. And we were able to speak into it. And said, the only cure for the fears of this life is putting faith in one who's conquered fear. And it was so beautiful to see him cross the line of faith. And he's on a journey with Jesus. Do you see the difference between just an acquaintance and where you're pursuing a friendship and pursuing a friendship with those that are open? I remember going to Umhlanga Beach, where when we go to the beach together, we bodyboard. We enjoy bodyboarding. And we used to have wetsuits when we were here in Cape Town, and we both looked like orca whales coming up the beach. But what we do is afterwards when we're there, and there's always kids around, so we say to the kids, you want to borrow our bodyboards while we get our breath back? And then we start chatting with the parents, and we start just engaging, and we've had such cool times on the beach. And we were at Umhlanga the one time, and I said to Shirley, I see a kayaker coming in on the south side. I'm just going to go meet him. Maybe I know him, and I'll just help him with his kayak. And Shirley was on the beach with Nick and Laurel and all of them, and I walked along and around, for those that know Umhlanga, down to the south side, and I was watching him coming, and oof, the next minute he got hammered by the back brake. And he fell off his kayak started going towards the rocks, and he was struggling, and I thought to myself, the surf is big, there's no ways I can go help him. So I ran back and called the lifeguard. The lifeguard got his buoy and ran down, and he jumped in and swam out, rescued the guy, came on the beach, and then another guy's come, and it was like people just crowded and helped him onto the beach. And it was quite a rescue, dramatic rescue. I remember coming and saying, gee, this was crazy. And I just thought to myself, imagine if the lifeguard took his boy, ran down to the beach, and as the waters touched his ankles, he backed off and thought, ooh, this water's too cold. And he started yelling, swim harder. Swim that direction. And then the guy couldn't hear, so he got a loud hailer that the guy could hear. Or he started going on the beach and doing, you know, the YMCA movements to try and get the guy. No, no, no. The lifeguard faced his fears, jumped in, swam out, and helped him back to the shore. And for many of us, it might feel a daunting thing to just have an acquaintance or a very casual friend over to your place. Can I say it's a lot easier than you think? Because what we're doing as Christians is not entertaining people, it's extending hospitality to people. Hospitality and entertaining are a vast difference. Hospitality's basis is I want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to get to know you. And out of that position, I believe so much can happen. Can I encourage you, keeping in touch with yet-to-believer friends allows them to see something of authentic Christianity. Having yet-to-believe friends helps you keep the Great Commission in the highlight priority. Having non-Christian friends helps you keep in touch with the pain that the world has. So many people, I told you about my friend Michael, who got involved in Bitcoin, he tried his hardest to get me involved in, he's lost everything. This past week, I went around and dropped him off some stuff. I said, Michael, read this. When I come back from Cape Town, we've got a date. I said, I want to help you process loss. He said, please. And now he's busy selling stuff, and my daughter's helping him on Facebook, etc., etc. We need to begin to start feeling other people's pain. When we have pain, we can turn to Christ. When they don't have Christ to turn to, they turn sadly to a whole lot of other things that gets them deeper into the hole of sin. And it's so difficult to get out. Can I encourage you, by loving and caring for others is sowing seed that God is watching over. So often our invitations to people, to our homes, is something that's foreign to them. It really is. Caring for people is seeds that are being sowed in their lives that you've got no idea the impact that it has. I remember, I'll tell you these two quick stories, is I was ministering up in Pretoria in a church. And after the celebration, this guy comes up to me, says, "How's it, Wally? How are you?" And he's talking to me like I'm a long lost friend. So he says, "Don't you remember me?" I said, he says, "We're in the Navy together." He says, "It's Stephen." I said, "I'm still don't, sorry, Stephen." He says, "We're in the Navy together." Now that's 40 plus years ago. And we've all changed from the head to the toe and everything in between. He says, "You don't remember?" I said, "I'm sorry, Steve." He says, you remember me? He said, "When I used to go out on a Friday night drinking and Saturday drinking, you used to be on gate duty because we made this deal. I would do Friday and Saturday that I could have Sunday off to be able to go to the Sunday celebration service." Ah, then the penny started dropping. He says, "Remember you used to make me coffee when I came back blind drunk? Vaguely remember." He says, "Remember you guided me to my bed and made me fall into the right bed." And he started itemizing all these things, which I'd forgotten about. He remembered them all like they were yesterday. And he said, when we parted ways after the Navy, we never kept in touch at all. But he said, "I never forgot your care, your love. You told me your story, how you came to faith in Jesus. I got married, then I got divorced, then I got married. And I was going through my second divorce. And I thought, why don't I go to church? Something like Wally went to." He went, came to faith. And here I'm preaching and he comes afterwards and tells me the story. Can I say to you, you've got no idea of the seeds that you plant. God watches over them for them to germinate. God puts an amplifier, on those seeds and every one of your kind deeds. I want to say to you, don't underestimate them. I'm not sure whether it was in this local church or Paul in Stellenbosch. It was a number of years ago when we had a huge big drought in Cape Town, Tableview. There was a couple in our church that had a borehole business. So they sank a borehole on our property that we had lots of water. And at the time, we weren't allowed to water our gardens, weren't allowed to wash our cars. And we just said as a group, how can we serve our community? So we just put up free car wash. And we had coffee machines, we had a braai going, and we just thought we're going to love on our community and do their car wash for free. Tell you, we washed over 100 cars. I was stiff like you got no idea. I didn't realize the hard work it was. And I remember, I think it was in Paul's church, after the thing, this lady comes up very excited. She says, "Remember me?" I said, "I'm sorry, please jog my memory." She says, "You washed our cars." I said, "Whoa, tell me more." And she said, "No, remember, we couldn't stay in the car. We had to get out the car. There were people that were there serving us coffee and rusks and talking to us. And they told us about faith in Jesus." And we thought, wow, that was so cool. Then we moved from Tableview to Stellenbosch. And we thought, we want to find a similar church. And they found one and plugged in there. So I want to say to you, you might think, doing this, extending hospitality, inviting people over, what's the point? They are all eternal seeds of kindness and love and care that God is watching over. That when the pawpaw hits the fan, when the wheels fall off, when crisis comes, Holy Spirit reminds them of it. I want to close with this. The best sporting huddles do not win a game. I remember when my daughters played netball, I was sort of the linesman. That was my designated area of skill. I had to be there. And then I just know that I just yelled my head off for my girls and for their team. And I'd learned about foot faults and I learned all about all of this. But I loved the huddle. Get together. We're going to do it. And da, da, da. And then yay, and off we go. Sunday is a wonderful huddle where we hug one another, we love one another, we inspire one another, we encourage one another, envision one another. But the real game is when we leave here. So when you leave here and you go home and you see your neighbor and you go to Monday, your work, that's where when you begin to engage face to face with somebody, hey, how was your weekend? How are the kids? I remember Michael, a friend of mine that I play squash with, he was distraught. He says, my laptop's crashed. Crashed, it's gone. I've lost all my info. He's an accountant. He's lost. I said, don't you have backup? Yeah, I forgot. And you know when that sinking feeling was, you've done it too. I'm a bit paranoid with backups. I've got about 3 backups. A backup of my backup of my backup. And I said to Michael, I'm going to pray for your laptop. And he just went silent at the other end of the phone. He says, you pray for... I said, I've prayed for cows that were sick when we're in a farming church community. I prayed for everything. Pray for your laptop. So he said, okay, thank you. He was open for anything. He was so desperate. And a little while later, I had this thought. Go to PC Doctor for a second opinion. I had this thought, so I phoned him up. I said, Michael, you've been to your specialist, and he says, just you need to get a new one, and there's nothing, they can't retrieve it. I said, there must be a PC doctor. Go for a second opinion. So he goes on his phone, and he finds there is a PC doctor in the area. He takes it to the guy. You might say, well, what's the big retriever's information, and help him recover it? You might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Firstly, he's come to realize we pray for everything and anything. That there's a God who hears and loves to answer because he cares and he loves. He's told other friends, hey, oh, well, he prayed for my laptop. It sort of came right. I said, I've prayed for others that got dunked and water on them. They haven't. But God just so allowed it for you to happen. Can I encourage you, become bold in willing to offer prayer and ask Holy Spirit, what is it that he would want you to share? Because God wants you to be his voice into those situations. I want you to, not now, it's difficult with this load shedding and being dark, but after lunch this afternoon or this evening, start making a list of your friends. And next to your friends, yes, they know Jesus. Yes, they know Jesus. Yes, they know Jesus. But the ones that don't know him, or if you've just got a list of acquaintances, I want to help you on Tuesday of how to, with your acquaintance list, which ones to take the next step with. Which ones to invite to your home or here or there or somewhere. God wants you to journey with them to him. The time we've had together was sweet. It's beautiful. I want you to consider who and what friends you're going to journey together with and help being a salty friend to them. What John Cole was to me when I first came to faith, I want to be that to so many others. Hoping in the future to be able to share with you that couple in our cul-de-sac that have come to faith in Jesus and serving him. Shirley did interior for Janet. She's a lady, doesn't know Christ. Helped with the headboard and the shelf, and Shirley did the curtains and the bed and the this and the that. You know what the coolest part of doing that interior decorating was? Spending 5-10 minutes afterwards, she wasn't there, praying for her. We knelt at her bed and we asked God for his mercy and grace to help her. But she's got cancer and she's had a stroke. God has brought us, Shirley, across her path for a greater purpose than just to make her recovery room and her bedroom look nice. God's after her heart. Who in your circle of friends does God want to use you to touch their hearts and their lives? I want to close in prayer. Father, this morning, thank you for this community, this family. And Lord, as we looked up to you this morning in worship and poured out our hearts of devotion and love to you, Lord, we've looked to one another, encouraged and inspired one another. Father, I pray as we leave here this morning, we look out at the others who are yet to believe in you, Jesus. The others that are currently far from you, but that are open to discuss you in some form or fashion. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you'd begin to start reminding people here of friends, neighbors, friendships, that one needs to reconnect or engage with afresh and anew. For Lord, from a work point of view, from a community point of view, just from a noticing point of view. Father, I pray and ask for that, Jesus, in your name. Help us to be those salt of the earth friends. Help us to be those salty saints with just a pinch of salt that makes a difference to food, can make a difference to a life. I pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.